I will say that when you're out of this profession, you find out who your friends are real quickly, your real ones. And that's not a shot in any direction. I think it's just the reality.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we welcome back a familiar name, Alan Major, current assistant coach at the University of San Diego. After diving into his background and coaching journey in a previous episode, this conversation takes a different angle, focusing on the often overlooked time between jobs. Alan opens up about how he approached that downtime, the intentional steps he took to continue growing as a coach, and the mindset required to stay ready when opportunities arise. We also discuss how his new role at USD came together and what the transition back onto his staff looked like. This episode offers an honest look at resilience, preparation, and just trusting the process and the profession. Please welcome back to the podcast, Alan Major. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Ladies and gentlemen, coaches out there, welcome back to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. I say it with an emphasis because the special guest today we have, and I'm happy as hell to be able to say this, the assistant coach over at USD, University of San Diego, Coach Alan Major, baby. Coach Major, what's up?
I appreciate you, Dougie. Thank you for doing this. Been a surreal past probably 2.5 months. Obviously, we'll be chopping it up about that, but just a very thankful, number one, and just very honored to have another opportunity. Appreciate you doing this, brother.
So the one thing I want to say is, I'm going to pretend like I have no idea. It's not like me and you talk every single day and have like a full idea of what's going on, how this all came about. So I'm going to act like I have no idea here and just ask a lot more questions, dig into it a little bit. But really, the main focus of this conversation today between us is really to give everybody an idea that everybody, and there's a lot of conversation that talk about people wanting to get into coaching. They want to be a coach, all of this, but there is not enough conversation or people that open up about what happens when you're suddenly out of it. And that's what we're trying to encompass in this episode, is really how what you did in your time being away from trying to get back into the industry, and then ultimately how this USD position transpired back and got you back into the business and so on. So just to give everybody a full idea. That being said, just take us back to the moment when you realized you're between jobs. What was that period, that downtime? I know one of the most recent positions you had was Texas, 2018-2019 season. I know you had the Nigerian national team. I know you've been doing things in between, but those were like the first full-time positions. Talk about just that down period, what it was like for you and what you kind of learned from it.
Yeah, obviously I was assistant or director of player development at the University of Texas with Karen Aston, who's now at UTSA, Rising Coaches Podcast alum, Coach Karen as well, who was at the University of Texas at the time. Our connection was when I got the Charlotte job, Karen was the head coach at Charlotte. And so that's how eventually the Texas opportunity came up, and she just wanted another set of eyes on her staff. And I went down from 2018 to 2019 and probably left a little bit more by choice, but it was more of a family nudge. My mom was starting to have some health issues at the time in that spring of 2019. We had just finished the NCAA tournament. And to this day, I remember getting off the bus after the game we had lost at the University of Oregon was our location. We had actually lost to Indiana. Their women's team that's now really emerged. It was the beginning of their climb. But my sister had left me a voicemail that my mom had been hospitalized and needed to have a procedure. And as we spoke as a family, it just seemed like the best thing to do was to head back to Indy and help with some of the caregiving stuff. And my sister at the time was doing the majority of it but she was starting to wear down. And sometimes the caregiver might need caregiving themselves if you don't get tended to in your own way. So I just went back to try to help out. And sadly, my mom eventually unexpectedly passed not long after that, but it was the right thing to do. I still, to this day, feel it was the best thing to do. But that landed me in the very thing that you just talked about, that puts you in a pin drop where you're out of the profession. And by the time she had passed in the summer and we emotionally recovered, it was pretty much the cycle was over. So just found myself really trying to figure it out. And I really just took that fall, went to a lot of practices, went to visit a lot of coaching friends, because someone gave me great advice. When you're out of the profession, you're technically like a free agent as a player. And the thing they always tell free agents is work on your game until the phone rings. And so I tried to basically apply that knowledge and that nudge or that information to myself. Is, hey, you're a free agent. You don't know when this gap is going to end, but what can you do to be a better coach in the meantime? And so that's one of the main things I really tried to do, is just visit a lot of places, see a lot of coaching buddies. And so that was really the main focus throughout all that time. I know we'll get into maybe some other things I did, but the main focus was, don't be the same coach you were whenever this gap ends, because you don't know when it's going to end. And I think hopefully for coaches out there listening, hopefully this is an encouraging pod, because no path is linear. You'd always like to say, I go here to a low major school for a few years, then I go to a mid, then I go to a high, then I go become a head coach, then I go. It's not always that linear. And so you have to be ready for those moments when you don't know another opportunity might come.
That's the thing, is it, like, you definitely have to be ready for it, because now I haven't necessarily had that big jump yet. And whether that comes or not, whether that's what I'm looking for, who knows? But it's one of those where I always personally would look at it, and like, I was always thinking next, as any young coach getting into the industry did or does. And now looking at it, if it's evident, I've seen people doing that when they start thinking that way for that next, it's evident. It's you can read it off of them. And once you start reading it, you're like, this kid isn't getting me 100%. So now I start to completely rearrange and change my mindset. And you got to be happy with where you're at. I know it's very cliche, but you said it, and it's 100% true. If you're not happy with where you're at, you're right. Never going to be happy. So one, it's battling the mindset, right? Battling your own mind, being able to make things, whether it's good or bad, make it out of the positive. Mm-hmm. But no, and that's great. And I didn't reference in the beginning too, I want to make sure to say, if people want to hear about more in depth of your individual coaching background, we have a full episode 37 that we did already record. You're going to go have to back into the archives big time with those ones. Right. But those are definitely, there's an opportunity for people to listen to your background as well. But going off of that, you said you helped build your craft, your time being out of coaching. What were some of the things that you were trying to do other than hitting practices, going out and meeting your coaching friends? Like, what were some ways that you were growing as a coach yourself?
I tried to do some individual team studies. I would pick a team that I admired watching play. Maybe it's, and somebody that's been really good, doesn't always have to be a top 25 team, but maybe it would be a really good mid-major team that's been successful. And I would just, a friend of mine bootlegged me into his Synergy account and let me use his Synergy. And I would watch 6 to 8 games of a particular team. And I would just take notes on what makes this team good. And I would maybe pick a mid-major team. Then I would maybe pick a FIBA team. Maybe it's an NBA team. And so I would do that with teams at different levels, playing all these different styles. And just to, number one, keep my game watching eye somewhat sharp, because that can get stale if you allow it. But also just to continue to build a base of keeping what's trending with the game, styles of play. And obviously FIBA has its style, and the NBA has its style, and college basketball is continuing to evolve. And that was just another thing to try to do in these kind of quiet moments where you're off the grid, so to speak. And then obviously COVID hits in 2020 and nobody's getting hired anywhere. That pretty much ran the gamut of what was going on as far as any job changes. But in 2021, I had an opportunity pop up in February. Mike Brown, who's the current head coach of the Knicks, at the time, he was an assistant with the Golden State Warriors, and he had also partnered with the Nigerian national team to try to rebuild their program. He obviously wasn't able to do anything with the team because he's involved with the Warriors at the time, but he got a bunch of kind of basketball mercenaries together and some guys that had the opportunity to take a team over to Tunisia for a three-game FIBA qualifier. It was called Afrobasket was the name of the FIBA qualifier. So had a chance to go be an assistant with them, and it wasn't a full-time role. It was just more of, hey, we got a qualifier coming up. You're going to be gone for about a week to 10 days. Here's your plane ticket. Here's where the team is going to meet. You have three or four practices, and you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then boom, and you're out of there. Had a chance to do that three different times just in 2021 alone. I'm sorry, twice in 2021 alone. And then I had a chance in 2021 to be a part of the training camp that Coach Brown put together to go to the Olympics, because the 2020 Olympics got moved to 2021 and Nigeria had qualified for the Olympics. So the training camp was held in Oakland, California at the Warriors practice facility. So two incredible weeks of growth with that. So you can see the same theme. Thankfully, an opportunity came up, but just being ready to step in and continue to grow, it was an incredible experience. And then also in 2021, I had a chance to be a head coach of the Rwanda Patriots in the NBA's new Basketball Africa League. So I find myself in between these Team Nigeria events, basically the part of the month of April and all the month of May. I was in Kigali, Rwanda for 6 weeks and had a chance to coach a team in the Basketball Africa League in the inaugural tournament that they had. And another amazing experience. At that point, I hadn't been a head coach in a long time. So it was a chance to put the head coaching hat back on again. And just really was blessed with some incredible growth opportunities. And with it being international, all those things were FIBA rules, especially the Nigerian national team stuff is all FIBA rules. And then the NBA, the Basketball Africa League, was a mix of FIBA and NBA rules. So learning the game in a different way. I got a graduate's degree learning in terms of FIBA, because FIBA's 24 seconds, college is 30. FIBA is no 2.9 in the lane, so you can load up. There's no illegal defense. So it's just a whole different ball game. All these things, in addition to the things I did on my own, just allowed me to continue to have chances to grow as a coach while not being on a current roster. And I probably did three or four more stints with Team Nigeria, little qualifiers between 2021 and 2023. And then lo and behold, here comes the Rising Coaches opportunity down the line later in that August. And then I had an opportunity to be a volunteer consultant with the Butler University. And my former head coach at Ohio State, Thad Mata, is a head coach at Butler at the time and still is. And for a two-year period, basically 23 to 25, had a chance to just jump in. And that was probably one of the best things that ever happened during this period, because I felt like I was part of a team every day again. Even though I was just a volunteer, I went to practices and I just went to every home game. I didn't travel, but I watched games on Synergy when they were on the road and just gave a little autopsy to Coach Mata and the staff each day. But it just felt, we all have that feeling of wanting to be part of something as a coach. This last 2 years before coming to San Diego, that was probably the thing that helped segue me into jumping into a program again on a daily basis like I have now.
I want to say too, going back to what you were saying about, I guess there's two things I take away with that, which really enlightened everything that you said, was one, do your goals ultimately align with your day-to-day lifestyle? So ultimately you wanted to get back into it. And that's one thing that I feel like a lot of people don't look at and take a step back on themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Is do your goals ultimately align with your day-to-day lifestyle? If you want to be a coach, and you obviously, you've had a tremendous career, right? Head coach, assistant coach, high level, high major, all across the board, right? So you have a tremendous background and a lot of connections, which definitely helps with a lot of it. But at the same point, you're still, with all of those connections, you're still having to go to practices, having to go sit in. Like, you're not necessarily bigger than them or bigger than anything, ultimately. But you're finding different ways to watch practice, find different ways to watch film, to different games. And then it opens up different avenues for you, as you said, to go to Rwanda, to go international, Nigerian team, all these different things. So really your goals ultimately did align because and they got you back into it because you were doing things to get you back into it. But then the other thing I took away from that is the having good people around, like Coach Mata. We always say it's definitely a good thing to have good people around, and it helps you in the long haul. And to that exact situation, you move back to Indianapolis, maybe not for the most fortunate reason, but it was a reason more family oriented and personal based. You go back and Coach Mata ultimately helps you out. And I don't want to say helps you out, but like ultimately be able to open an avenue and open a door for you to be able to get another opportunity and at least to keep your feet wet with the industry. Another reason right there, having good people around you. And if you didn't have him or somebody like that, a good person, and he didn't rely on you or trust you, you wouldn't have had that opportunity. So it's like that says a lot right there, not only about yourself, but about the people that you've been around too, to keep those around.
No, I got to give my flowers to the Butler staff, not just Coach Mata, of course. He's a lifelong dear friend, but also his whole coaching staff, Mike Pegues, Maurice Joseph, Alex Barlow, John Diebler. At the time, Greg Oden was helping out a little bit before he transitioned on. Connor McCaffrey, Tony Bollier, phenomenal guys, because they could have very easily thrown up some fences and not let me maybe be around or listen to any input that I might have had. Or we're in a funny profession that way. You never know how those things are going to go. For those guys to not only welcome me in the Hinkle Fieldhouse every day, which again was just a phenomenal experience, but to also be engaging enough to hang out after practice at times and say, hey, what'd you think about practice today? And that kind of stuff. Those guys were tremendous as far as, again, the thing that really gives us coaches that feeling is knowing that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And even though I wasn't a full-time Butler employee, those guys made me feel like I was part of the program. And that meant a ton. And again, got to give those guys their flowers for the way they accepted me over the last couple of years. It was awesome.
And one thing we never really talked about too is really just like the networking side of it. So you, again, you've had a tremendous background. So you have a great network and you know a lot of people in the industry. That obviously helps. But was networking, like, was it different? Because I feel like being out of the business, some people may think, oh, he's reaching out because he's looking for a job. Now, you, knowing you, working with you now for 3 years, I know you're just a straight, genuine person. So I know that's not necessarily the case. But obviously, being out of a position, was it hard or more difficult to network with people? Did they sometimes have a different viewpoint on things?
It's, I will say that when you're out of this profession, you find out who your friends are real quickly, your real ones. And that's not a shot in any direction. I think it's just a reality. And it's given me a chance to maybe encourage some of my friends that just went through that this spring. I had several friends that ended up transitioning out of coaching for various reasons. And that's the one thing I've told them is that every now and then our phones need a refresh. And this time—
You say that a lot to me. I know you—
That gap time allowed me to have a refresh. And so I tried to balance checking in with people, but I also tried to also let them know what I was thinking. And you always do your best to try to put yourself in the position that you eventually want to be in. And Coach Mata, I was always candid with him about wanting to get back into coaching when it came time to move on this past fall. That wasn't a big deal. But yeah, you have to be consistent about it. You have to be more intentional. But the people that really know you, they know where you're coming from. They know your intentions. But you are, if I'm being frank, you're going to get some crickets as well. You're going to reach out about a job and you won't hear anything back. And until maybe they reach back and say, hey, I just hired a guy, but great to hear from you, as opposed to maybe wishing you had a chance to get involved with it. That's just part of the game. But it ultimately reminded me once again that this whole thing comes down to relationships. Like I'm on the San Diego staff because knowing Steve Lavin for 30 years and him being an unbelievable friend. I was a manager at Purdue when he was a graduate assistant. This circle just fully became complete back in October because, again, we've known each other forever, but it never worked together. And when he happened to have an opportunity, it still, my situation, like many others in our business, it's going to come down to relationships. And that's why maintaining ones that you really have and really care about is important, but also trying to cultivate, you know, new ones for the right reasons and for the best reasons.
And you've touched on it there too, but I guess just diving into it, really how the new role at USD came about, right? Like with this new opportunity, obviously you just saying being with Coach Lavin at Purdue, working alongside him, you two obviously having a relationship and kind of encompassing what you just said helps tremendous amount. But just dive into a little bit really how this transpired, how it opened up for you.
Yeah, it was a wild thing. I would say probably around early to mid-September, I got a text from a really good friend. And that particular friend had an overseas friend that's been wanting to come to the States and get into coaching, whether it's college or MBA. And so I get a text saying, hey, I saw your guy, Steve Lavin, has an opening. Would you mind reaching out to him on behalf of my friend? I heard he might be looking for an international guy. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. But then my friend sent another text saying, and by the way, if he's not looking for an international guy, hit him up for yourself. It was a two-piecer in terms of the text that my friend sent. So I went about just like he had asked the first part of it. So I send Coach Lav a text and I just said, hey, look, I heard that you got an opening and that you might be going international in terms of filling the role. I said, a friend of mine's got someone in Greece that he's trying to help. But I said, obviously, if you're keeping it wide open, would love to talk when you get an opportunity, .. You know, and you at least put it out there. So I'd say probably a couple of days later, Lav gets back and he's, yep, yeah, definitely, I've got something, just trying to figure out the staff puzzle. But he's, hey, you're definitely on my radar and I'll get back to you by the end of the week. So I'd say a few days later, it was probably on a Sunday, I remember getting a text from him basically saying that his ops guy was going to send me a plane ticket just to come out for a couple of days. I haven't been involved in a fair share of coaching situations and inquiries during the gap time. You try not to get too excited, but you also are excited because there's at least a crack in the door.
Yeah.
So his ops guy, Jack, who's on our staff here, great guy, chief of staff, sends me a plane ticket and I just come out for a couple of days and just hang out. I watch a couple of practices and thankfully two coaches on the coaching staff I've also known for a long time because they used to work Coach Lavin's camps back in the day. And so here we are again with relationships.
Yep. It's always the camps.
Coach John Moore, who used to be the Westmont College head coach for a long time. And then the Coach Patrick Sandel, both those guys I've known for a long time. They happen to be on the staff here at USD. Anyway, when I get ready to depart after staying out here for a couple of days, it started to get a little bit more real. And Lav and I just started talking about how we could make it work. And obviously, he's been phenomenal with giving me the freedom to continue to help out with Rising Coaches because he's big on giving back and helping the younger generation of coaches. And still being part of a professional organization is a really good thing. By the time I left to go to the airport, that was a Thursday. I'd arrived on a Tuesday. I felt pretty confident at that point that it was a done deal. And a friend of mine called me, that same friend in the airport, and gave me a congratulations. I actually broke down crying a little bit. He could hear me over the phone. And he's, hey, man, he said, been a long road, hadn't it? It was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool moment. It basically ended if you take the actual time, it was about a 5-year gap time, to be quite honest. You never plan on it being that long, but it didn't seem like that because I got to do so many other cool things in the meantime. The Butler thing was, I don't really consider that gap time. It's maybe gap time from being a full-time assistant coach, but I definitely didn't have gap time when nothing was going on. So all the things from that moment Texas ended all the way to the thing, this thing going down, all the things I got to do in between really helped me become a better coach to be ready to step back into this daily flow.
Well, Mage, I want to give you your flowers because one, I know I met you when you were in between roles, obviously seeing the growth. And one thing that you always did was you were never like, I don't have time or not. You were always looking to help. Like you always were looking to help. And it's a testament. Like I'm not kidding when I say I'm sitting on the bench and there's things that you have told me have gone through my head. And there's times where I know I called you coming back from a trip about some big man drills because I was, lack of a better word, I was not happy about right. some of the things. Like, this was like a year or two ago, and he's listed some things that I did with Greg Oden. I was like, we have different, completely different players from my bigs to your Greg Oden, but that's a different right. story. But the stuff that you have given me and just everything, right? Like, even just the little things like handwritten notes, to this day, I still do that. And there's so many things that you have shared that have helped me tremendously. And maybe I don't tell you enough, but like, it says a lot about the person that you are, the growth that you have come going from one spot to the next. I'm a firm believer in, although we may not want to believe it or not, everything happens for a reason, yeah. right? Like, all this stuff happens, and it definitely no is doubt. A testament as to how you got back onto this staff. And I'm happy for you, man. It really is a good opportunity, and happy to see you back into the business.
No, I appreciate it, man. No, this is, I'm glad that, obviously, Rich, want to thank him, Rich Cheslowski, for being able to have us partner with this thing and continue on with it, because obviously he had to be cool with it as well. And Coach Lavin, I'm glad that you and I are continuing to move forward in this journey. But yeah, hopefully this is an encouragement to people that, again, no path is linear, and that there's ways to continue to make yourself better while you're waiting. And you hope at some point that your story might be someone else's survival guide. And hopefully that ends up being the case with this, even if it's just for one person.
And your one-liners, that's the other thing that I haven't said. Your one-liners are always just spectacular. I don't know if you study those or what. They're always top of the notch. So if there's anything that I can recommend to people, look back on the last 230 episodes and 200 whatever, and really just dive into your one-liners, because they are spot on. But they're 100% accurate, and they make sense. They make sense.
No. Blame it on smart parents, man. Blame it on smart parents.
But overall, no, like I said, I just want to reiterate, I'm happy for you. Definitely good to be able to see you back into the business. I know I didn't really know you before you were in it, but it's good to be able to see you back into it. And I'm just happy to, I know we've had more than enough calls about you going over there, and you bounced some things off of me, and you've helped me through some of my navigating of, should I take this position or not? And you've helped me more than enough. So I'm happy to see things working out for you. Good luck tonight. You got a big game tonight. I know this is obviously dropping at a different time, but he's in Seattle right now. You can see the beautiful sun coming through as you look out my window. Darkness. So you can definitely tell we're in different landscapes. But no, happy for you, brother. And big things coming ahead. I'm sure there'll be another bigger opportunity. But as we always say, be happy where you are. Keep rising where you are. And
no
keep
doubt. Your
feet where you are. The next opportunity is always, you never know, could be a second away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, thank you for doing this, man. Again, hopefully it's an encouragement to coaches at all levels out there, because we all need it. We all need a nudge. And again, thankful to Coach Lavin again for this opportunity. Like I said, man, just been fun to be with the players every day. That's probably been the single biggest joy, is just being around the guys every day and all those moments, right? Whether it's at a restaurant, hearing their laughter, hearing them crack jokes in the back of the team bus, spending time with a guy watching film. I've just encouraged coaches, again, just enjoy the time with the players, especially in this landscape, because they're coming and going faster than ever. And just do what you can to make, you know, these guys and ladies as good as they can be for the time you have them, because it's really going fast. Tonight's our 12th game, and so we're already one-third of the way through the season with this crew.
Crazy.
But anyway, this has been great, brother. I'm sure we'll be talking soon, but thanks again for doing this.
I'm sure we will be. And everybody out there, thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully you got to learn a little bit something. Hopefully, respectfully, Mage, hopefully they don't have the same situation where they have a gap. Everybody has a smooth one position to the next, but we know that's not going to be the case. So hopefully everybody learns something and is able to take it away. So then when that opportunity, or I should say when that situation does arrive, at least you can find a way to better yourself, come out on the other end a little bit better. And then again, everything happens for a reason. USD came out. So happy for you again. And thanks everybody for tuning into another episode, the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts and guests for the day, Alan Major and Doug Caputo. Keep working. Everybody keep rising. We'll see you all soon. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.